give God's word away here. So if you need the Bible this evening, everybody's got their Bible. How do you like that? That blesses the Lord's heart, doesn't it? That everybody's got his word in their lap tonight. And not only is worship music to his ears, but when we turn pages, that's music to his ears. So turn, if you would, to Psalm 91 tonight. Best way to find the Psalms, if you have Old and New Testament. Somebody told me they had a chronological Bible last week, so you won't do it this way if you have a chronological Bible. But Old and New Testament, fold your Bible in half, usually come to the Psalms, Psalm 91 tonight. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, that we can come midweek, get an extra meal, fellowship, prayer, worship, Lord. We're truly blessed to be able to meet here at Temple Sinai. It's wonderful to see how your gospel's gone full circle. To the Jew first, then the Gentiles. And here we come, the Gentiles, bringing it back to the Jews. What a blessing. We do pray for their salvation upstairs, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, that they would see the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we do pray for them. We love them, Lord. We have a lot to be thankful for with the Jewish people. We have your word. We have Messiah through the Jew. And so we want to pray for them, Father. We also pray for Karen Nelson's mom, Sandra Saylor. She went into the ER today, Lord. Just be with her. Give her the best treatment she needs. Most of all, Lord, we just pray for a special touch from you. And also others in this fellowship that are hurting physically, going through lots of physical, spiritual, emotional, financial problems. Lord, we lift all the needs to you tonight. And that's why this psalm is so timely, Lord, that we can know that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that we are secure in you. A lot of people, Lord, talk about eternal security. Thank you, Lord, that we are secure in you forever. And so tonight, speak to us through your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what we have. Thank you for the wonderful promises that we have, especially in the Psalms. Lord, you give us all that pertains to life and godliness. So strengthen our faith tonight. May we be more in love with Jesus when we leave this place than when we came in. And so, Father, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord willing, we'll see if we can get through the whole Psalm tonight. I was going to go for two, but you know how that goes. I start plugging away at the word, and all of a sudden I'll go, I'll just go through one tonight. Joe Paskowitz, a brother from Connecticut that's a dear friend of ours, him and his wife visited us today. He said he went to Costa Mesa last night, and Chuck Smith went through 10 Psalms. 10! Can you imagine that? Wow. So that's Chuck. So tonight, let's look at God's Word. Let's read it together, then we'll come back and see what the Word of the Lord has for us. Psalm 91, safety of abiding in the presence of God. Boy, is this timely. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. In many of the Psalms that we've looked at thus far, oftentimes in what are known as the superscriptions, that's the bold dark print just below the chapter number, we oftentimes see who the writer was. But again, tonight in Psalm 91, we don't know who the writer is. We know that it says Psalm 91, safety of abiding in the presence of God. We don't know who the writer is. And there, of course, there are a lot of biblical scholars that spend a whole lot of time. Scholars and commentators, they do their best to try to determine who the writer is, yet we don't know. But you know what? That doesn't bother me, as I know who the author is. And the author is the person of the Holy Spirit. There were over 40 men over a period of 1,500 years that wrote this wonderful book, given by the inspiration of God. And this is one of those chapters tonight that is very timely. Have you noticed over the past year or so, while we're in the Psalms, how very timely some of them have been for what we're going through, whether it's personally or whether it's corporately or nationally or worldwide? And so tonight I'm hoping that Psalm 91 is a psalm of comfort for each and every one of us as we look around at what's going on in the world today. Incredible. You know, there's a lot of fear. You turn on the news, what do? They instill fear in your heart. You pick up the paper, fear. It's like everywhere you go. You know. But we know that perfect love casts out all fear. And we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I would hope that this would cause us to trust more in Him, to know that, yes, we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so there's a lot of comfort in this psalm for us here tonight. But with the author, I'd love the fact that the Lord doesn't tell us. He kind of leaves it open-ended so that it can apply to any of the psalm writers that we've seen thus far. We've seen a number of them. And we can even put ourselves into their sandals if we choose to do so. You know, because a lot of the things we will see apply to us. Because it deals with the security of the believer in times of great fear. The Lord said that there would be perilous times. And boy, I think we've arrived. All of us, when we first got saved, some of you I know have been saved 30, 40, 50, 60 years, all looking for the rapture of the church, and Scripture pointed to it, and everything's going on in the world, but look what's going on now. It's absolutely incredible what we see going on. And so we're going to look at the security of the believer tonight, and I would hope that you are secure in Him and in your relationship with Him. As it says in verse 10, that we would not be afraid. And we shouldn't fear, should we? We are not to be afraid. No evil shall befall us, nor shall any plague come near you. And it's good to know that we can rest and trust in Him. You see, fear was a great tool of the enemy then, and it is a major tool of the enemy today. The term is phobos. That's where we get our word phobia. You heard that term before? There are all sorts of phobias. Claustrophobia. You know, I think even most of us who live in the Coachella Valley have whatever an earthquake phobia might be. Just turn on the news and every day I hear the big one is coming, you know. And you can almost have an earthquake phobia living in the Coachella Valley. But then I looked at the map today and they had one in Arkansas. They've had a whole bunch of earthquakes in Arkansas lately. I'm going, you guys rock and roll for a while. Leave us alone out here, you know. And what is known as the rule of first mention in Scripture, also textual constancy. What that means is when you see a word first mentioned in Scripture, it's kind of woven through the whole Bible. And the word fear or phobos or phobia goes right back to the book of Genesis, doesn't it? Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. And who was the first person to have fear? None other than Adam himself. prior to the fall, he walked in the garden with the Lord in the cool of the day. He had that intimate, loving fellowship with God. Scripture tells us that God gave him dominion. He blessed him and gave him dominion over everything. And everything that God had made was very good. First 6 days was good, and when God was finished, it was very good. Yet when sin entered in, it severed that beautiful relationship between God and man. And when God called out Adam, he called out to him, "Where are you?" Scripture tells us that Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, but I was afraid." How sad is that? To me, that's one of the saddest verses in the whole Pentateuch, if you would, in the Torah, the first five books of Moses. Doesn't that sadden your heart? You see, when God cried out to Adam, "Where are you?" It was from the heart, the broken heart of his father. Why was God's heart broken? Because sin had entered in and that relationship was severed. And Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid." The word afraid there is yare in Hebrew. It means to be frightened, to be afraid, to dread. And it's a word that we find 216 times in Scripture. As we look back in God's Word, there have been many great men of God since then. Like I said, this textual constancy, this rule of first mention that weaves its way through the Bible. And you look at all the great men in Scripture, and for the most part, a majority of them dealt with fear. There have been fear in the hearts of mankind ever since. You remember when Abram was telling everyone that Sarah was his sister? Why? Because he was afraid. Fear had entered in. Jacob feared Laban. Jacob also feared his brother Esau. Moses was afraid of God. David was afraid. Yeah, Israel's greatest military warrior, David, King David, man after God's own heart, went through a time when he was afraid. Yet David, and whoever the writer to this beautiful psalm may be, gives us the formula for overcoming fear or phobias. Anybody interested? I'm probably the only one in the room who's got fear here tonight. Just because I'm standing up here, I got fear, you know? Do you know the second most fearful thing that there is in the world is death? Guess what the first one is? Public speaking, believe it or not. So, just one of those things. But that's good. It's good to have fear in that sense. But here we find tonight, and we're going to see also as we look at the life of David further on, that he had the antidote for fear. You see, fear and faith can't dwell in the same place. You've heard me share that before. He had faith and trust in the Word of God. And when people are gripped by fear and terror today like never before, we have the antidote. Faith in God and faith in His Word. You remember a few weeks back when we were in Psalm 56? I love that psalm because three times David says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God, I will praise His Word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear." And even further down in Psalm 56, verse 10, David says, "In God I will praise His Word. In the Lord I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid." So there it is, the antidote for fear. You see, God has given us a pill to take. The gospel. I couldn't resist. He wants us to meditate, not medicate. And there are too many people today that are medicating and not meditating on the Word of God. Every time you turn on the television set, it's "tell your doctor." Tell your doctor. We're supposed to go in and tell the doctor what we're supposed to take. That's insane. I guarantee if you will get on your knees before God and get into His Word and hide your word in His Word in your heart, fear is going to leave and your faith will be strengthened. And I find when fears tend to creep into my own personal life, which they do often, it's because I've neglected to get on my knees and get God's Word in my heart and meditate on God's Word daily. The term is to chew the cud, masticate is the term, to chew the cud, to chew on God's word. And in the first two verses, the writer of Psalms says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." There's two key words in each of the first two verses. Dwell, abide. Those are two very important words in the first verse for those who want to overcome fear or phobias, if you would. Secondly, we see in the second verse two words, refuge and fortress. All four words center around the Lord Most High, the Almighty, and God. The term for God there is Elohim. That's the term for God in three persons. And so the writer of this psalm knew that if he would dwell and abide in the Lord, that the Lord would be his refuge and his fortress. The Lord Most High, God Almighty, God Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's by the believer dwelling and abiding in the Lord Most High, Almighty God, Elohim, that gives him the ability to say that He is my fortress and that He is my refuge and that I may dwell in the secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And lo and behold, I'm only two verses into this psalm, and man, I feel more secure than I did when I walked in this place today. Because God's Word does that. It brings comfort to us. It brings safety and security to us. And we need that today. Because the world is so unstable and so unsure today. I'm talking about the world out there, the unbelieving world. And if there's anybody that needs to be showing stability and safety in their lives, it should be the Christian. What a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in times of great fear. Do you find your unsaved friends being drawn to you now? Man, God's bringing people across my path again I haven't seen 30, 40 years. And they're listening to CDs now, and they're going to come to church and all this. You know, it's like crazy. People are like going, there is something going on. There is something going on, and we know what it is. And we have the rest of the story. We know exactly what's going on. And so when we abide in Christ and He in us, we enter into that secret place. Isn't that a wonderful term? Secret place. In Hebrew, it's a covering. And it is a secret place because the unbeliever cannot understand it or comprehend it. Could you before you got saved? Then all of a sudden when we get saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden we know what it means to abide in the Lord in that secret place. You see, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the veil was torn from top to bottom, so that we might have access to the throne room of grace in time of need. Because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, we now have access into the secret place. It's not a secret to us, but amazingly enough, it's a secret to those folks upstairs because they haven't entered in yet. That's why we always pray for them. That the veil would be torn. It is torn, but that they would see that it's torn and that the scales would be removed off of their eyes so they could see Jesus, the Mashiach, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Isn't it wonderful that we can say that we can abide and that we can dwell in the secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty? God Almighty is El Shaddai. I love that Amy Grant song, El Shaddai. The term comes from Shad, Shaddai. It speaks of the breast of a mother that supplies milk and nutrition for a newborn babe. Speaking of God, our sufficiency. He is our all-sufficient God, El Shaddai. And again, the more we learn these things of God and His nature and His character and where we truly dwell, I mean, it's like, you know, it just brings comfort to our very soul. To dwell means to marry. And we have a marriage relationship with the true and the living God. Folks, where are we going next? We're going to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Two things I like about that. We're married to the Lord. Second, we get to eat. They don't call us Calorie Chapel for nothing. Everything we do, we eat, you know. Wedding supper of the Lamb. Yeah. What do you think, Roman? Supper of the Lamb, dude. Yeah. Man. So to dwell means to marry, to be in that loving, living relationship with the true and the living God. That comforts my soul as well. I just want to go curl up on the chair and take a nap. I just feel so secure in the Lord. To abide speaks of staying permanently. Okay? And we need to know that as well. That's our permanent residence in heaven. And we've talked about that over the past few weeks. The American dream is what? Owning a home, they say, right? It's turned into the American nightmare for a lot of people today. And I don't say that to be funny. It's turned into a nightmare for a lot of people. My own daughter and son-in-law just lost their house. They're moving out. Foreclosure. A lot of you are. I know a lot of you have lost your home on this earth. But you see, you can pay the mortgage off and you can pay all the taxes and all that stuff. You will never own the dirt that you live on today. And you won't own that home. Because once you leave this place, someone else is going to move in. And they're going to get a mortgage for 30 years and they're going to pay 10 times what you paid for the place. Isn't that bizarre? But Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us that where He is, that we may be also. And that place is permanent. That's what we're talking about here. We are going to abide in Him. We abide in Him and He in us right now. And it is that permanent place that we're looking forward to. And we will never have to say goodbye again. You ever stop and think about that? Never having to say goodbye again. For the believer, it's see you later. It's not goodbye. Because we're going to see one another later. You know, many of us have had to say, see you later, to a lot of our loved ones. My mom and dad, see you later. They're in heaven. Hallelujah. And we're going to see them later. That's our permanent residence one day. And we'll never have to say goodbye again. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. Not one tombstone in heaven or hospital. What a glorious place it's going to be to live. And Jesus Christ, even right now, we are seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ our Lord. He's there ahead of us. It's as good as done, isn't it? Christ in us, we in Him. It is then that we can say, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Can you say that with assurance? Can you say, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust? The only way that you can say that is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What do you mean? I believe in God. Yes, but Scripture tells us he who has the Son has the Father. But he who does not have the Son does not have the Father, and the wrath of God abides on them. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Then you can say, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And that's all God asks you and I to do, is to trust in Him by faith. To trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in His death, His burial, His resurrection. And this should cause great peace and great safety within our lives. Just these first couple of verses, security. It should cause just this peace to wash over us here tonight. And I like that. Here the world is falling apart. You know, you got Daffy Gaddafi now on the scene, and you know all this stuff going on. It's bizarre, but we got peace, don't we? Isn't it great to have peace instead of pieces? Amen. If we were in our BC days, we'd be out doing what everybody else is doing because we'd be going to pieces. But God takes pieces and gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. And I would hope before we leave this place that every single person in this room could say that He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. That's why we're here tonight. To have our faith build up. And also, should there be one person here that doesn't have a relationship with Christ, that they would come to know Him and have that safety and security in Him. Omnipotent God covering us. Meaning we remain under His protection. No shelter can compare. He is our bride. And He's a jealous bridegroom. He's not jealous of His bride. He's jealous for His bride. He's jealous for you and for me. We are His own. He is our own. It doesn't say He is, did you notice, it doesn't say He is a refuge. Does any Bible say that here? It doesn't say He's a refuge or He is a fortress. We can say, personally, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. How cool is that? The psalmist is beyond the shadow of a doubt because he's under the shadow of the Almighty. And there's a difference there. El Shaddai, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Which means, first of all, he keeps us from the traps of the enemy. Sometimes we don't realize how helpless we are. You know, we look at a little sparrow, kind of an insignificant little sparrow. Of all the birds, you know, they're not worth a whole lot, right? And they're not the prettiest bird that God has created. They don't really sing that well. Not many people keep them as pets. But the Lord's eye is on every sparrow. He sees every sparrow that falls. You know, they may be insignificant to mankind, but they're very important to God. Every one of his creatures is important to him. But even more so, you. And his eye is on you. And even before Frankie Valli was born, he was singing, "You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you." And he hasn't taken his eyes off of you since. He loves you. And because he loves you, he's going to keep you from the snare of the fowler, the bird hunter out there. We know who that bird is. He's a dirty bird. It's the devil. God also gives us the spiritual armor that we need in verse 4. And so we see there, the picture here, first of all, is the helpless little birds being led away from the snare of the fowler. And God keeps us away from the traps that the enemy sets out there. And we take refuge under the wings of the Lord. Now, this does not mean that God has wings and feathers, okay? But he's just giving us a physical picture of a spiritual truth. How he takes care of us. Jesus used the same metaphor, didn't he, when he talked about a mother hen. Where Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And for the little chicks, for the little baby chicks, under the wings of the mother was the most secure place that they could be, that they could dwell. And that's the picture that we find, is that we are secure under the wings of the Almighty. Even as a mother hen protects her chicks by covering them with her wings as hawks fly overhead. And that's a dangerous situation, isn't it? You and I are constantly in danger as well. And God protects us. And we are sheltered under his wings, if you would. And the amazing thing about that, I heard a pastor share one time about the chicks when they get under the wing of the mother. It's the closest part to her heart. And they can hear the beating heart of their mother. How cool is that? We need to hear the heartbeat of God, if you would. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Joe? I'm glad you asked. John, when he writes in his Gospels, oftentimes refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And any time you ever see John portrayed in a picture, he was the one that always had his head on the bosom of Christ, listening to the heartbeat of his Lord. And do you know that you also, if you are a believer, can use that same term. You are the disciple whom Jesus loves. And I would hope that we would be so close to him that we could hear the heartbeat of our Savior. We need to be that close, especially in the times in which we live. And there's great danger when we drift out from under the shadow of his wings. And unfortunately, there are a lot of believers today that are falling away and drifting away, getting out from under that shelter. Man, they're getting picked off by the hawk. And the enemy is just waiting for believers to get outside of that covering. And then he swoops down in a second and picks them off. Look what's going on. How many people did you go to the house of the Lord with when you first got saved that you're going, "Well, where are they? I mean, they're out of fellowship now. They don't go to church. They took all the stickers out the car, the whole thing." There seems to be a great falling away. I don't see a revival here in America, but I see a falling away. We've got bigger churches, I think, mega churches, bigger churches than we've ever had before. But the spiritual level, I think, is ice cold. Because people are not looking for the truth of God's Word and the Word of God. They're just looking to be entertained today. They want the cotton candy stuff. Feel good about yourself. How can you pick up the newspaper and look at the condition of the world and feel good about yourself? I feel good because, man, I'm under the shelter of His wings. But it's not all about prosperity anymore, is it? You know what? These prosperity preachers are going to have to change their tune pretty soon. Things are going down, you know. That's why we have to stay true to God's Word, don't we? And so we see this metaphor. The second metaphor we see is the armor of God, the second part of verse 4, where the psalmist writes that His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. His truth. Jesus said, "My word is truth." This speaks of the armor of God. Ephesians 6:10 tells us and gives us all of the pieces of the full armor of God that we need. Here we see a couple of them. We have the truth as the shield and the buckler, the psalmist says. The term in Hebrew for the shield was a sinaw, T-S-I-N-N-A-W, which means a large shield. And it wasn't one of those they carried, you know, the round ones they carried on their arm. They carried big shields that used to wrap around both sides. And when they went out on the battlefield, they would get down. They would actually squat down, like the pulpit here. And they would, you know, I may have to do that someday. Huh? Keep preaching this book. But they would get down behind the shield and they were protected from the arrows of the evil one, the enemy. And so that's the type of shield we're looking at here, the shield and the buckler. The buckler, of course, was the smaller shield. And so this one he's talking about is God is our shield, isn't He? We get down inside of His protection. He takes care of us. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. And again, that's one of the many blessings that we have as believers, the truth of God's Word. Wow, so look what we've seen thus far in the first four verses. We see the safety, the security of those who dwell and abide in the Lord Most High, God Almighty. We see the secret place that is ours, the shadow, the refuge, the fortress, the shield, the buckler. But yet, why are we so insecure at times? You know, a lot of Christians are still living in fear today. We shouldn't be. Look at the security we have. Just in the first four verses of this wonderful psalm, we should be more secure than ever. Just with what we've seen tonight, we could quit right there and go, yeah. Man, I am so secure in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And the good news is, well, Warren Wiersbe says this, God's servants, God's children are immortal until our work is done here on earth. How cool is that? You see, the very purpose that God created you and I for will be accomplished. And once we're finished, time to go home. How awesome is that? Get finished with your work, cross the finish line. Dad, I'm home. And you're not going to be leaving one second sooner. Do you know that? That's why we don't have to live in fear. Go for it for Jesus, man. I know a lot of us went for it in the world. It was dangerous. We didn't even know it. Now we look back and go, man, wow. God's hand was on me then. I used to do some nutso stuff. I'm not going to share some of the stuff. I'm not going to share any of it, as a matter of fact. But that was dangerous. That was insanity. But now that we're sane and we're clothed and in our right mind, like the guy from the Gadarenes, don't you think we ought to go for it now? People say, oh, you're going to Israel in 2 weeks. Isn't it dangerous over there? I go, no. Hey, if Jesus died there. It's good enough for Him, good enough for me. You know? He ascended to heaven from there. Right on, Lord. I want to be like my Savior. Bingo. I'm out of here. You know? Well, I know in my heart that I am not going to be home in heaven 1 second before God knows I'm going to be there. We're all like milk cartons, expiration date. You don't see it, but He does. And He knows when it's time to go home. And you will be right on time. So don't be timid and shy and don't, you know, cower. Oh, man, People say bad things about Christians out there. Just, you know what? Love them to life out there. Let your light shine. We've got everything. I believe part of the problem is that we forget our position and we forget His promises. And that's what we see in the first four verses. We see our position and we see His promises, don't we? And Titus tells us in the first chapter that God cannot tell a lie. And so every promise He gives us about our position and the promises that we have in Him are true 100%. No fine print, you know, like the guarantees that we supposedly get and things that we buy here on earth. You can get a Bible with bold print if you want, and you can take every word to the bank because God's promises will be fulfilled 100%. John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Abide in him, he in us, plugged in. Verse 5. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." He's got all four times of day covered, right? Night, day, darkness, noon, brightest time of the day. And so for the children of Israel, their fears kind of paralleled ours today, right? The weapons of warfare have just changed. That's the only thing. They still lived in fear at times. They dealt with terrorism. The enemy often attacked during darkness. There's just something about total darkness, right? When you're in a battle. When we were in Vietnam, the most difficult time was at night. We'd usually catch our Z's during the day. At nighttime, man, you were pretty much wide awake. Never took your armor off. You always slept steel pot, flak jacket, the whole thing. Never left your weapon anyway. You just leave it. You didn't just leave it and go off cruising around the jungle somewhere. But you had to be ready at night because that's when the attacks happened. Same here, at night. And the arrows fly by day, and pestilence walks in darkness, destruction that lays waste at noontime. And terrorism then, terrorism today. And the enemy today operates on a low budget, doesn't he? A couple of box cutters. September 11th, incredible. Fear immediately gripped our nation by the throat. Weapons of warfare, they had arrows, swords. Pestilence, those were plagues and diseases. Destruction, oftentimes the enemy would come in like a flood and leave a city in ruin. And such frail creatures that we are, both then and now, you know, night and day we're subject to danger. And we don't even realize it a lot of times. As we know, there's this heavenly host that's watching over us. We're going to talk about that in a moment. God's angels are, man, we have no idea the things that God keeps us from during the day. Today, the whole world lives in panic and fear, doesn't it? Economic collapse. Does a day ever go by when that doesn't come up? National debt, trillions. But you know, our national debt isn't necessarily dollars. America's national debt is sin. We need to be atoned for. That's our greatest debt. And I think if this nation would ever repent, turn back to Christ, I think everything else would take care of itself. Now we got pirates. 2-3 years ago, you never heard of pirates? Arr, you know? People can't even go out in their boats, man. The pirates are jumping on board. You notice that, lady? Somalian pirates. Crazy. Panic and fear. Islam, North Korea, Iran, even our own borders, Mexican border, man. People getting their heads cut off. This stuff is crazy. People getting shot to death in their cars. Tourism is way down in Mexico. We're thinking about nuclear warheads. Anthrax, incurable disease. Does somebody can read Matthew 24? Earthquakes. Every day we hear, get ready for the big one. I don't worry about earthquakes because he looks beyond my faults and sees my need. God says in verse 5, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. He says, we don't have to be afraid. You shall not. Do you really believe that? That we don't have to be afraid? We really don't. God is God. Sometimes we fail to realize and to recognize how great He is. But oftentimes we measure Him by human standards. You know, who's got the most nuclear weapons or whatever? It doesn't mean anything today. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall by at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Israel witnessed this, didn't they? Look at some of the battles that they went through. Oftentimes it was one angel that would destroy 185,000 troops. And God's people, just this ragtag bunch of people out in the desert, nomads, would be going, man, look at this. Thousands and tens of thousands, just as it says here, how they just fall by the wayside. Fall at your side, at your right hand, and they don't even come near you. But look at the track record of Israel. You know, with their own eyes, they saw the results of the angel of death, right? Passover, when the angel of death flew over Egypt, and those that didn't have the blood on the lintel and the doorpost, the firstborn was slain. Imagine what Israel must have thought then. They also saw Pharaoh's army washing up on the shore of the Red Sea. They didn't have to draw a sword, did they, God's people? Didn't fire one arrow. So why do we fear? God can take care of them. God can cause the same thing to happen today. 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, and they won't even come near you. But yet again, the enemy tries to put fear in our hearts. Time after time, God delivered His people, even with one angel, against innumerable odds. Oftentimes we see in Scripture, will God, you know, Israel go out with an army, He'll say, you got too many. Cut the troops a little bit. Go from, you know, 150,000 to 30,000, whatever it might be. Oftentimes He'll just trim the troops a little bit. That's the way God works. There's no odds in God's kingdom. He's far beyond everything and anything. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's God. And notice, rest assured, God will reward the wicked. They don't even realize that, do they? We are going to get rewards. We oftentimes think of the Bema Seat and the rewards that we will get as Christians. But do you know that the enemy is going to get rewarded too? But not in a good way. Not in a good way. Everybody gets eternal life, north or south, smoking, non-smoking. Everybody gets eternal life. They will get their rewards. And God doesn't make any mistakes. His books are clean. Yep. Oftentimes people say, well, I don't get what I deserve. Folks, I don't want what I deserve. Jesus Christ took what I deserve. And He gave me what I don't deserve. Heavy duty. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. Again, notice the personal pronoun, my refuge. Even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Wow. Notice, it's conditional. They have to make God their refuge. Otherwise, they shall find no refuge. God makes it conditional there. We have to make the Lord our refuge. He draws us by His Spirit. It's the goodness and the kindness of God that draws us to repentance. And He allows us to make the choice to make Him our refuge or to refuse Him. It's your choice. On the contrary, those who refuse God's Son will be refused by God, very simply. We must make the Lord our refuge by putting our faith and our trust in Him. Yes, God has given us a free will. He allows us to choose. A love relationship must be reciprocal. To go into a marriage with a one-sided love will never make it. And God feels the same way. He doesn't want, okay, we'll see how old you folks are now, a Chatty Cathy doll. Remember Chatty Cathy? Ah, Becky's smiling, you remember? Yeah, someone told you about it, right? And it was a little doll, you pull the string and it would say, I love you, you know. God doesn't want a Chatty Cathy. Or a Chatty Curtis. He wants you by your own free will to say, I love you. And you know what? When you find the goodness of God and the grace and the mercy of God, and when you experience His forgiveness, when you recognize and realize He shed His precious blood for you, you cannot help but say, I love you. He loved us first. He is the initiator. And all He wants you to do is respond. And how many of us were looking for love in all the wrong places? We were looking for eros. But we didn't know agape until we came to know the lover of our souls. Unconditional love. All He wants you to do is put your faith and trust in Him. And the good news for the believer, really, yes, we're in danger. And oftentimes there are those crushing blows and crushing calamities in the lives of Christians, right? But you know what that does? That just makes the journey home shorter. That's all. The enemy tries to take us out and he just allows us to be taken to heaven. Praise God. It's a win-win situation for us. Terminal illness, sickness, makes us eternally well. When we pass from this place into heaven, to live is Christ, Paul said, to die is to gain. That's the old Loretta Lynn song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Live for Christ. Die daily for Christ. We're going to talk about that Sunday. Denying yourself daily, picking up your cross and following Him. Verse 11. Does this sound familiar? He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, in their hands that they shall bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Remember who quoted that to Jesus? The enemy. The enemy knows the Word of God. He put a little twist on it. But this is a promise for you and I. Again, how God gives His angels charge over you to keep us in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then I wonder how many times an angel or a group of angels has kept me from being dashed against a rock or a stone or whatever it might be. Car accident or who knows. Because there's this heavenly host that's watching over the bride of Christ. How cool is this? That the Lord gives us body, soul, and spirit guards. On this earth, people talk about bodyguards. We have body, soul, and spirit guards that are watching over us. Notice this as well. I know a lot of people ask me, do you believe in guardian angels? Do you think I have a guardian angel? I say, I think you have guardian angels. Because it says He will give His angels charge over you. We have more than one. Isn't that cool? He shall give His angels charge over you. And notice, it's not singular. It's plural angels. God commissions them to watch over us continually. Notice also the protection is that keeps us in all our ways. That's pretty secure. He protects us, guides us, directs us. You know, we don't exactly know where they are or what they're doing or what's going on, but God tells us that they're there. And He bids them to come and go. They're under His control, every single one of them. And again, man, more security for you and me. He shall give His angels charge over you. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And so we see here the king of the beasts, of all the animals, and also the most cunning, the serpent. Isn't it interesting that the enemy, the adversary, disguises himself as both? He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's also that cunning serpent, Satan. He also disguises himself as an angel of light. We know that as well. But through Jesus Christ, who crushed His head, we are able to trample over the lion and the serpent. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me. The word He refers to us. It refers to those back in the first couple of verses. Those that have set their love on Christ. This is now the Lord speaking. And we put our faith and trust and our love in Him. And so he says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. It's a name above every other name, isn't it? There's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. 100% of the time. I talk about that a lot. You don't get an answering machine, voicemail. Hi, this is God. I'm not in. But if you leave your name and your phone number, I'll call you when I get back. You don't get that from God. He hears us. And He's not like us with our caller ID. Oh, that's so-and-so again. You know, God doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think He would love us to contact Him more in our prayer life. There was a song, it's probably been 10, 15 years now, called I Miss My Time With You. Anybody remember that one? About God crying out to us as His children because we didn't pray much and He missed that time with us. I think it's so important to pray, folks, to have that open communication because He's always there. He's always waiting. He's always anticipating having that intimate fellowship and communication with us. Shall call upon me, He says, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Thank you, Lord. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, it's the Lord who will finally deliver those who set their love upon him. Praise God. Secondly, He will deliver us and set us upon high, who truly know His name. Again, isn't it amazing that He's done everything? He who knew no sin became sin for us. What did we contribute? Nothing. Our sin. And what has He given us? Everything. Verse 15, notice. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And so notice, we are first called by God, then we call upon God and He answers. Jeremiah 29:12 says this, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. It's a heart thing. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. He not only answers, but is with us in times of trouble. That's another promise. Are you troubled tonight, saint? He's with you. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. And He tells us that, yes, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have tests. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. But He's with us. And if you're going through troubles tonight, He's with you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He's going to see you through it. It's a promise. You've got it right here in black and white. And He will deliver us and honor us. Now, what I love about God's words is every time I study it, I learn something new. And maybe you knew this, what I'm going to share with you now, but man, this just blew me away. This was like the icing on the cake. As I kind of tied up the loose ends this afternoon in my office, I thought, oh Lord, this blew me away. And it's in verse 16 where it says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So what's up with that, Pastor Joe? Well, number one, orek is the term for long life. That means forever. God has given us eternal life. But here is the thing that blew me away. And I always encourage you to get eSword on your computer because you can do cool word studies. And it's easy. You don't have to go through the Strong's Concordance and turn all these pages and look at the little print, the little number, and then, you know, it's, we have eSword now. You put the cursor on and the meaning pops up. And so when I put the cursor on salvation, it popped up and blew me away. Sue had already left the office, so she didn't see me doing the hallelujah chorus all around my office today because it was so awesome. You see the word salvation? Do you know what that word is in Hebrew? Yeshua. Yeshua. Check it out for yourself. The Greek equivalent of Yeshua is Jesus. I get goosebumps even now. I'm going to do the hallelujah chorus again. Get out of my way. Isn't that awesome? Well, maybe you don't think it's as awesome as I do. That blew me away because I've studied this before and done word studies. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my Yeshua, my Jesus. And he's my Jesus and he's your Jesus. What's really cool as well, and these precious folks upstairs are blind to it, 118 times in the Old Testament we see Yeshua is salvation. And they miss it. For instance, Genesis 49:18. I have waited for your Yeshua, O Lord. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. 2 Samuel 22:47. I'm not going to give you all 118. But man, I'll tell you what, check it out. It is so cool. 2 Samuel 22:47. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. We know who the rock is, right? If you don't, listen to the rest of the verse. Let God be exalted, the rock of my Yeshua, the rock of my salvation. Is that not cool? Man. So are you secure now? You guys aren't flipping out, are you, tonight after, you know, you're not all insecure and, you know, nervous and looking like Barney Fife Christians. No, we can chill. We can relax in the Lord. And we can say with all of our hearts and with all of the security that we have seen tonight, let's read it together, the first two verses, okay? Let's read it together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Selah. And amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ, our salvation. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the security that we have in you. We are safe, Lord. May we be able to grasp that in our lives and quit being a bunch of worry warts, but to rest and trust in you, Yeshua, our salvation. Lord, even when Gabriel came to Mary and Joseph, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's never given their life to Christ. Maybe they're outside of the shadow of your wings, Lord. I pray tonight that you would show them their desperate need for you. That you love them, that you are initiating your love to them tonight. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here tonight, and if you're not sure that you're saved, today is the day of salvation. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone. I know it's a Wednesday night Bible study, but I don't take it for granted that you guys are all saved. You need to know. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Anyone, before we close. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you for our position in you. Thank you for your precious blood that you shed for us. Yeshua, our salvation. And so as we leave this place tonight, may we rest in you. Give us a good night's sleep, Lord. Give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And tomorrow, Lord, with great zeal, filled with your Holy Spirit, may we go for it. Because we're not going anywhere until you're ready to take us home. And in the meantime, may we live for you, Jesus. Forgive us for cowering. Forgive us, Lord, for the church going into the closet and other people coming out. Lord, we need to go for it because the time is short. So thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, for the wonderful promises. Thank you for the beautiful worship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here tonight. Thank you most of all for Jesus, Father. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.